Lord, it is your peace that we seek today, the only peace that makes any sense, the only peace that doesn't make any sense. That is what we seek today as we look to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want to say thanks to the worship team for learning that song this week. That was beautiful. And those words are so poignant, not just because they're really lovely words, but that's a direct quote of Jesus. Directly quoting Jesus saying, "Peace be still," from the passage that was read earlier from the book of Mark. In that story, we know that Jesus and his disciples were out in a boat, and the big storm comes up, and Jesus sleeps through it. The disciples do not sleep. They freak out at the wind and the waves, and they wake up Jesus and say to him, "Don't you care if we drown?" They are losing their minds. And so Jesus gets up and speaks those words to the winds and the waves. Jesus directs the storm. Jesus commands the squall with three words, at least in the English translation, "Peace, be still." And the storm obeys. The wind dies down. The waves smooth out into a glassy sea. But there is a more difficult storm at bay in that boat, and it's the storm of worry. Mark says that the disciples were afraid of the storm, and then after Jesus calmed the storm, they were terrified. And they started wondering, who is this guy? They're saying, the wind and the waves obey him. I bet they're saying to each other, what have we gotten ourselves into? Who is this person? Here in front of them, the literal physical wind and waves, the we're going to die storm is over, but they are still full of fear. There are so many things to worry about, and there are 12 anxious hearts in that boat right next to Jesus. And I wonder what would have happened if he just turned to the disciples and then said the same thing, "Peace, be still." Would they have obeyed like the wind and the waves? Would they have settled down and settled in and let the peace of Christ wash away their worry? I don't know what would have happened at that moment, but it isn't the last time that Jesus calls them to peace or promises them peace, so they clearly needed it. In Matthew 6, he says to them, "Do not worry." He asked them this question, "Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" In John 14, he says to them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And he winds up by saying this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." That's a verse that's particularly significant to me because it was the favorite of a dear older friend of mine who passed away in March of 2022. And after Corinne's internment service at Fort Snelling, her daughter Peggy came and handed each of us who were in attendance just a little piece of paper with those words on it. This piece of paper said, "My peace I give you." And since I received those words, I put them on my dashboard, and since then they have remained there in my car. Those words from Jesus, "My peace I give you," are right in front of me every day, there in my face, the promise that Jesus grants me peace. So I wonder, why don't I feel a sense of peace all day, every day? Why do I still worry? Does anyone else feel that way? Where are the worriers? Yeah, there you are. Thank you for being honest. Where are the anxious friends in this place? I'll just give a little side note. If you're not a worrier, that's a gift from God. That's a gift that God's given you, the gift of peace, and this message is not for you. So instead of giving up, because that might be in walking out, that could be embarrassing, all the worriers in the room would like you just to start praying for them and over them today. Because even though we have this promise of God, that God's peace is with us, we still worry a lot. And depending on where you look, these are some definitions of worry. Worry is being unduly concerned about anything. Worry is dwelling on difficulty or troubles. Worrying is imagining the worst possible outcome. Worrying is about fretting and being anxious, about being distressed and agitated, being in unease, or as a friend of mine says, dis-ease. Worry gives us a troubled heart, a troubled mind, and even a troubled body. You sometimes feel your worry physically right here. It just gets you. So what is it that we worry about? Here's what you said today. Not just a few things. Not just a few things. Here's what you said. You worry about the Middle East. You worry about violence and gun violence. You worry about injustice. I'm just on the verge of tears today. The video was so beautiful. Oh, my goodness. Okay. You worry about your family and your kids and your friends. People worry about money and finances. People worry about their health and sickness and medications. You worry about expectations and school and grades. You worry about death and the death of others. Someone worries about falling off their bike. You worry about being busy and having too many activities. You worry about things that are out of your control. People worry about their pets and their health, about their salvation of loved ones. You worry about people who are homeless and about scarcity in the world. You worry about the future and the future of the earth. You worry about safety and aging and discerning God's will and following Jesus and work. And you worry about other people's worry. And the list could go on and on and on. I read an article about a study of women who worry. And it said that women who worry are more likely to get Alzheimer's, which is just one more thing to worry about. For the first 36 years of my life, I really wasn't a worrier. I didn't fret about much. I could get nervous about something, but I could plow my way on through. But then I had my first child. And suddenly the world was so big and I felt so small. There were suddenly so many things to worry about. Paige was born in September of 2004, and 6 weeks later we were taking her on her first big trip. Actually, I was taking her on her first big trip. Jeff, husband, had a business trip in Florida, and he was already there, so I was going to get myself and our infant there. And it seemed like a fine idea when we booked the tickets before she was born. But then when it was time to get ready to go, it changed. Jeff was already gone, and I was on my own as I packed for both of us to fly south. And as I looked at the enormous pile of stuff that I had to bring, I began to worry. And worry for me, like for many people, plays out in one big looming phrase: what if? What if begins the question, and it crept into my mind, and it was often running: what if on the plane she doesn't sleep? What if she cries really loud? Lee, what if we sit next to someone who doesn't like babies? What if she spits up all over herself? What if she spits up all over me? What if she gets sick? What if I get sick? What if she poops? What if I can't fold up the stroller and store the car seat all by myself? What if I have to use the restroom? What if I spill my soda on her? What if she's allergic to peanuts? What if flying hurts her ears and she screams the whole time? It was a long and ever-increasing things to worry about, and I didn't even get started on travel worries like, what if the flight is delayed, or what if we crash? I was overwhelmed by worry and came to this conclusion: I probably shouldn't go. Maybe I shouldn't do this. I was stuck in this place and thinking about canceling with no peace of heart or mind. Now, you need to know, I was a follower of Jesus in 2004, had been for quite some time. I was a pastor. I was schooled in the Bible, and if you had asked me a question like, what does the Bible say about worry, Chris? I might have been grumpy, but I probably could have quoted something that Jesus said, just like I did a few minutes ago. I could have taken a minute and sat down and said, I'm going to do a word study about worry or anxiousness or peace. And if I had done that, I probably would have stumbled upon Philippians 4, which is where we are not stumbling today. We are very intentionally opening our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4 because this is the last week of our Work in Progress series. So in this series, we've been reading through the book of Philippians, and we've seen how God says, you're a work in progress. I have begun something in you that I will not give up on. And we talked about how God is working in us for humility, for changing our point of view, to make us people that don't grumble, who depend on the credentials of being found in Jesus Christ, and who focus on the end that is in sight. So it's been great. This has been so wonderful, and I'm thankful to those that used their gifts. Derek Jones made our board out there. Corey Steppy painted our work in progress sign, and Maisie did that video today. So grateful. And for all of you that made your tile, and even a couple of you today that said, I forgot. It's been 7 weeks, and I still have a tile. Guess what? It's not over. We're going to move the wall. We'll rebuild it down the hallway, and we can just keep on adding because that's what a work in progress is. So here we are on chapter 4 of Philippians, and we're only going to have time to look at selected passages, so I'd recommend you go read the whole thing today. But starting with verse 4, it says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And read verse 7 with me. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." He goes on and says this, "Finally, sisters, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or heard or received or seen in me, put it into practice." Read this one with me. "And the peace of God will be with you." "And the God of peace will be with you." Do you see that? He said the peace of God and the God of peace. It's like he's making these huge bookends for our lives. Paul is now wrapping up this letter to the Philippians, and he's already emphasized a number of things to make sure that they know, that they do, that they believe, that they live. And he's told them that God's begun something and he's going to continue this work, that they are works in progress, that we are works in progress, not complete until Jesus returns to take us home. But here he introduces a new work. It's the work of peace. Before Paul signs off, he wants to make sure his readers know that God has something for them. And it's peace. It's peace because he knows that they're anxious. It's peace because he knows that we are afraid. He knows that the Philippians and the Bloomingtonians have a colossal list of worries. And Paul says that God offers us peace. He says the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds, and the God of peace will be with you. So I did a little peace word search in this passage, which is written in Greek. The Greek word for peace is eirene, and guess what it means in English? It means peace. When I started seminary, I was so excited to start Greek because I thought, you know how you hear pastors preach and they'll say, here's what the word is in Greek, and then they'll unfold this whole amazing thing about what it means. And it doesn't really work that way for me. Most of the words mean what they mean because that's why they translated them that way. But peace means this sense of well-being. But the peace in Greek, eirene, corresponds to the Hebrew word for peace that shows up in the Old Testament, one that you've probably heard over and over and over again. It's the word shalom. And so we've heard these words before, and they really do mean something bigger than peace. For us, a lot of times, peace to us just means an absence of conflict. But biblical peace, this shalom peace, or this eirene peace, means, from Cornelius Plantinga, it means a universal flourishing. It means wholeness and delight. He says it's the way things ought to be. Another commentator says it's an inner sense of contentment that is supplied by God. Peace means a peace of mind and heart and a body. It means being at rest where all relationships are the way they're supposed to be. And this peace that comes from God is different from anything else. It's a peace that Paul says transcends understanding. It's a peace that's surprising and unexpected. It comes at inexplainable times. It's abnormal given the circumstances. And I wonder if you've ever experienced that. Or known someone who has had a time in your life where you said, I am at peace, even though everything else is falling apart. And that kind of sense of peace, for the most part, comes in a moment. Maybe it lasts for a while. Hopefully, we would get to a place where it would be a whole lifetime of peace. But it's the kind of peace you just do not manufacture on your own. It doesn't come from self-help books or other people's good ideas. It doesn't make any sense, says Paul. And that's the peace of God. And it sounds amazing. It's what we want, right? So how is it that we access this peace? How do we get to this kind of peace to receive the peace of God? And within this text, I think Paul offers the answers. In verses 4 to 7, he says, when you have this anxiousness, he says, you know what you should do? Pray. Pray. He says, by prayer and petition, present your requests to God. He says, the Lord is near. So whatever you face, he says, go to God in prayer. And he gives a little more information about this. He says, pray with thanksgiving. So when you're feeling anxious, when you're feeling worried, stop to pray and thank God for something. Talk about something to God that you're grateful for. What are the good things? Naming the things that you're grateful for, even when the time is hard, and maybe even just the smallest things. Right now, I'm grateful for a cup of coffee, or a call from a friend, or the smell of the fall air. Grateful that the car started today. Grateful that there's clean water coming out of the tap. Telling God by presenting your requests with thanksgiving and then saying to God, here it is, Lord. Here's what I'm worried about. This is what I fear. Here are my what ifs. I feel so anxious. Paul says the peace of God comes through prayer. He also says the peace of God comes through the way that we think about changing our thought patterns. I think Paul is saying to us, think about good things. Think about the things that he lists. He says, things that are true and noble and things that are right and pure and lovely and admirable. He says, think about things that are excellent and praiseworthy. Those two words indicate the divine. What are things that have come from God? What are ways that you say, oh God, I know that you're real or I know that you're there. It's the putting our minds on those kind of things. It's looking for the good in any situation. It's asking, where do I see God at work? Where are glimpses of the kingdom? Finding things that give you hope. Joining Mr. Rogers, who said, look for the helpers. It's looking for the things that you've seen before that might bring peace. It's changing the things that fill your mind and cause you to worry. It's changing the what ifs. Instead of dwelling on everything that could go wrong and thinking of what could be awful, it's starting to ask new what ifs. What if everything goes the way that I thought? What if it's going to be okay? What if she doesn't get sick? What if the answer is yes? What if I can get through this thing? And what if people surround me and help me? What if the Weather Channel is wrong? Like they often are. I think changing the way that we think often helps with changing the things that we listen to and the things that get into our minds. Maybe it means to stop watching the news or listening to the news. I was listening to Minnesota Public Radio the other day, and there was this interview, and they were talking about journalism and the media. And somebody said this, friends don't let friends watch cable news. Maybe it's just saying, I got to turn that off for a little bit because it's feeding a lot of these worries. The stuff that's coming from the outside is feeding those things and getting stuck in there. Maybe it means stopping listening to those things and then listening to something else that's different. Maybe going to the Psalms and to other scripture. Listening to a beautiful song like Peace Be Still or North that we heard today. Maybe it's sitting someplace where you listen to something that you know God would say. Filling your mind with good things. Filling your ears and your heart. Paul says, when you're anxious, tell God about it. Pray and think about good things. And then he says this toward the end of the letter, verse 10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show us or to show me. He's saying to the Philippians, they knew that he was in trouble. He was in prison and he needed help. And he said they were frustrated when they couldn't help him. And he said, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know, says Paul, what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. He says this, I can do all things through Christ. I'm sorry, I can do all this through Christ who gives me strength. Paul would say, pray. Change the way you think and trust God to provide. Here he talks about being content, about being at peace, being okay, whatever and wherever he is. No matter the circumstances, in the midst of noise and confusion and fear and pain and imprisonment and war, Paul says, it is well with my soul. He says he can be content in any circumstance. In plenty and in want, well-fed or hungry, in need and in having everything that he needs given to him. And he's saying peace doesn't require that everything is calm on the outside. It doesn't mean that all our circumstances change, but peace can come in the middle of the storm. The peace of God comes in spite of the mess of the world, in spite of pain and chaos and fear in our lives. Paul says, I have learned the secret to being content, and the secret is it's in Jesus. The writer of Psalm 23, Todd read for us before, is this whole peaceful psalm. Don't we hear it so often read at funerals or memorial services? And it gives these beautiful images. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. There's this image of still waters. All these things that evoke the feelings or the sense of peace for us. And then in the middle of it, he says this, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't be afraid. He's saying, I have all these things that give me peace, but even when they're not there, when I am in the worst possible place, I'm still not afraid because I know that God is with me. That's a peace that passes understanding. That's a peace that doesn't make any sense. What do you mean in the darkest valley? What do you mean in the shadow of death you feel this way? That's because it only comes from God. Paul says, I've learned the secret to being content. I am at peace. It is well with my soul. And he says, this is how I can do it. Probably the most famous verse from Philippians. I can do all this through Christ who gives me strength. Probably the best known verse. I bet if you went to Hobby Lobby today, you could find it on a big plaque to put in your house. It's the most quoted and I think the most misquoted verse because it's probably going to read like this. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's how we usually like to interpret it. And then people use it to apply to all kinds of things. I can do all things like make all the baskets when I play basketball. I can do all things like find a really good parking place when I go to the mall. I can do all things. I'll get the job. I'll do the thing. I will make the varsity. I'll do all these things. But he doesn't say I can do all things through Christ. He says I can do all this. And what he means by this is all the stuff he's been talking about before. I can do this because of who Christ is. You know what I can do? I can be content. I can pray when I worry. I can think about different things. I can experience the peace of Christ, not because I have any great skill, but because Christ makes it possible. I can live in peace in a world that's a mess because Christ makes it possible, not because I do it myself. He is trusting in Jesus to give him peace, to care for his well-being, and to make him content no matter what happens. Peace, says Paul, comes through prayer, through changing the way we think or what our minds are focused on and trusting Jesus to provide. These are his antidotes to worry. I need to make one caveat here and to say this. I'm talking about worry and anxiousness. I'm not talking about the disorder that's called anxiety. That is a real mental illness that is debilitating for some people. And you don't just pray it away or reason it away or think it gone. For that, more help is needed. For sure pray. For sure try to think about good things and trust God. But then also trust God to provide the things that you need through doctors or through therapy or through medication or learning skills. Oh, that's my little side note. Back to November of 2004. For a moment, I thought I wouldn't go. I wouldn't pack up my baby and go. But my practical side won out. I didn't want to waste the plane ticket. And I didn't want to be stuck at home with an infant alone while Jeff got to be in the Florida sun. So I packed up my stuff and I paused to pray. I told God all of my what ifs. And we drove to the airport, and little by little, my heart began to quiet. And then we made it to the gate, and there we were, me and Petra, with a stroller, and the baby bucket that you carry the baby in, and the baby Bjorn, so you can wear her in the front, and the bag full of diapers, and wipes, and bottles, and extra clothes, and snacks for me, and my wallet, and my ID. You've seen these people in the airport, right? The people with the babies and all the stuff. That used to be me. Now I just point and laugh when I see them. But there we were, and I paced back and forth around the gate because it turns out keeping moving also helps. It helps with the worry. It gets our mind on something else. It gets our body to do things. And so I kept on moving, and I was probably murmuring all my prayers to God. And suddenly an announcement came on that said soon we would be boarding the plane, and I felt the twinge of worry come back again. But then I heard my name, Chris, and I turned to see a friendly face. There was Diane Beeson, a member of my church who had been a friend for many years. And almost simultaneously, we looked at each other and said, what are you doing here? Diane was getting on a plane to meet her husband, Dave, who was on a business trip in Florida. I was doing the same thing, just meeting a different husband. And there was Diane on the same flight. There she was, and I felt this incredible sense of relief. There would be at least one person on the plane that would know me. One person who would be compassionate if Pedro cried the whole way. There was a safe and lovely mom who could hold my baby if I needed to, her to, and the peace of God filled my heart. And then we compared our boarding passes, and we were seated right next to each other. I said, Diane, you are an answer to prayer. And the God of peace was with me. Now, I know it does not always happen that way. It does not. It rarely happens that way. But it has made me have to wonder, what if I hadn't wasted all that time and energy worrying in the first place? What if I believed that even if everything went wrong, if everything on the what-if list happened, that God would still give me peace? That's what we're living for. That's what we can hope for. The end goal, when we see Jesus face to face, will be 100% peace all the time. There'll be nothing to worry about. That's what eternity looks like. No fears, no worries, no anxiousness, no none of that stuff. That's what we're moving forward to. But in the meantime, we're a work in progress. God said this is for us. And that we can seek and try to access this to receive this kind of peace. And maybe as a work in progress, it's just a little more peace each time you worry. Just a little bit more each day. A peace that surprises you. That makes you say, oh, I don't know where this comes from. Oh, yes, but then I do, because it could only come from God. This peace that comes from praying to God when worried, giving God and telling God all of those things. The peace that comes that says, let me not think about all the awful things, but let me think about the things of God and the goodness of God. And the peace that comes in trusting that God will be with us, that the God of peace is with us and the peace of God is ours. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, I thank you for this word. I thank you again for disciples who were worriers and who were fearful and who saw amazing things happen and then they would still start to worry. The worriers in the room, Lord, we understand and we want all that you have for us. So today, Lord, we present our request to you. We pause in this silent space, take a deep breath, and tell you what it is we're worried about. I pray, Lord, that your peace would descend in those places. That there would be moments in this room of surprise when hearts are stilled, when minds have moved to something else, when ears are tuned to you, and we can see you and feel you and know you. This is a work in progress for us, Lord, and we ask that you would carry it to completion until the day we have nothing left to worry about, that each day you'd give us a little more of your peace. That we would hear you say to our minds and hearts and bodies, peace be still, because we know it belongs to you, Jesus, O Prince.